All right, today is another standalone sermon here before I get into a new series. So on a theme here, and that is every member ministry. But before I talk about every member ministry, let's first talk about punctuation. Did you know punctuation can save a life? Let me show you this. Let's eat grandpa, or let's eat grandpa. How important a comma can be. And let me take to it a scriptural example of this, and actually a little bit of a controversial one from Ephesians 4. This is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 in the Old King James Version. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's God giving leaders to his people. And what do the leaders do? Or at least the last two. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three things listed with two commas. A comma separated list. Three things for these leaders to do. But what if, and I'll show you this in the next slide. What if this comma was removed? Do you notice how the meaning would change? Because now, instead of it being three things that leaders do, read verse 12 again. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, it's the saints who are supposed to do the ministry. By the way, if you don't know who the saints are, it's you. The way the term is used in the New Testament by Paul is he greets all the saints at a church. I know saints might sound like the super spiritual ones, the top notch, the elite, but the way it's used, it's of all believers in a church. And if you take that comma out, all of a sudden you see that the leaders are supposed to perfect and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, this is what most modern translations, King James is older, 400 years old, most modern translations, like the Bibles you have here, the ESV, English Standard Version, do. They don't have a comma there. And so it becomes an every member ministry verse. You might wonder, who's right? And especially the original biblical writings in the New Testament were written in Greek. What about the original Greek manuscripts? I thought about putting a picture of one up here, but I didn't. And they don't have commas. They don't have white space, typically. Which usually isn't a problem. You can figure out the punctuation in the white space. But every once in a while, we wonder, where would the comma be intended? And you can see it here. I think the modern translations are right, but to be honest, I'm not completely sure. The King James could be right that it's saying, hey, leaders, there's a special place for you to do the ministry that's taught in certain places, and I'll come back to that. But what I want to emphasize today is the other thing, and that is every member ministry, if that comma is removed. And let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn to this passage. But let me read to you another passage that does teach that clearly. Every member ministry. This might be familiar to you from Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just read. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Notice what he's saying there. He's not just saying ears, eyes. Aren't we glad we have them all for aesthetic reasons or beauty reasons or whatever? He's saying they got functions. They serve. The different parts of the body serve in different ways. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I love that phrase. Let me read that again. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Every member of ministry. Now, most churches in the history of the church, 2,000 years, have had a distinction between the clergy and the laity. Clergy like me, paid leader of the church, and the laity, the congregation. Most have had that distinction, and for biblical reasons I won't get into here, but that distinction can be overdrawn. It can be overemphasized. It can be misunderstood. And so, in the Reformation 500 years ago, a key truth was recovered. The priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers taught in 1 Peter 2. Can I read one verse to you from 1 Peter 2 and listen how this is taught? That we all are priests. This is what Peter said. You yourselves, like living stones, are built up as a spiritual house. This is all believers, built up as a spiritual house, like a temple, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A holy priesthood, not offering animal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices. And if you know your Old Testament, that should be a bit surprising to you. Wait. We all are priests, because in the Old Testament, it ends up being that only the tribe of Levi is where the priesthood comes from. Not all 12 tribes of Israel, only the tribe of Israel, of Levi. And so here something changes. That Peter says something changed when Jesus comes to earth. And he offers up not an animal sacrifice, but what all the animal sacrifices pointed to. His sacrifice of his own body. And he fulfills all of the law. He fulfills all of the prophets. And he institutes a new covenant, and the old covenant becomes obsolete. And when all that happens, there's some deep theology there. But when all that happens, everyone who believes in Christ, everyone who is in Christ becomes a priest, offering spiritual sacrifices. Think of that phrase here. Spiritual sacrifices. Isn't it true? That being a priest, having access to God, and that's what this means, priesthood of all believers, all having equal access to God and therefore equal potential to minister for God. Doesn't that take sacrifice, sacrifice time? Maybe your health? Your right to be comfortable? To serve others? I heard a great example of this. Maybe you've come across this story. I want to read to you about a man not named Stephen Foster, not the guy who wrote the songs. This is a Brit. He said this in his video that's been getting around the last few years. "To be honest, I never liked the church. I never even liked Christians that much. I was at the back of our church," yet he was going to church, he's just being honest. "I was at the back of our church in East London and someone said to me, 'We need help to run the coffee team.'" And he says, "And I was like working 70, 80 hours a week." And I'm like, "What?" And they're, "Yeah, Steve, we need your help running the coffee team on a Sunday." And at this time he was working as a lawyer and he revealed his thoughts. "I'm a barrister, not a barista. I've got a job. I don't need another job." Despite his hesitancy, he agreed to serve on the coffee team that following Sunday. He said this, "As I handed these cups to people, something really changed in me. I found myself, as I handed coffee to these people, growing in love for them. I thought, these people are amazing. This is the extraordinarily diverse community that's been gathered from across the area. There's probably not another place that looks as diverse and integrated as this. This is a miracle." Foster added that he even grew in love for people he thought were, well, more frustrating and complicated than he thought. But he continued, said, "I basically fell in love with the church." After serving on the coffee team, Foster told the person in charge of the ministry, "We need new coffee machines. We need to get better beans. We need better mugs. Come on, these are amazing people. I want this to be the best coffee that they can get," he said. "And as I made coffee for people, I suddenly realized, oh, the church is like the bride of Christ. It is like the thing he gave himself for." He added, "The church is God's plan for the salvation of the world. There's no plan B. And God is going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He said, while he recognizes the church messes up and makes mistakes, it can also be a beautiful thing. And he ended by saying, "That's what I want to spend my life building." What do you want to spend your life building? I know I certainly, in my 20s as an engineer and then computer programming instructor, wanted to build my career. Maybe you want to build a house, a marriage. It could be good things. But why not want to spend your life building the Church of Christ, playing your role, my role? Us doing our things. Why not? I want to go to the Bible a little bit more here before we come back to questions like that. Let's go to the Bible one more here. Time. If we are all priests, you might be confused. What about apostles, elders, pastors? What's the relationship between the two? And here's why I want to show you a picture, hopefully a picture, not only just of my own thinking. This is really from Ephesians 2 and 4. I've already read part of it to you. Of a building, of a spiritual house, of a temple. And let's start with the foundation. In the notes, you'll have this passage, but I'll read it to you again. This is Ephesians 2, 20 through 21. Paul says this, the household of God, built on the foundation, and that's where we start. What's the foundation? Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now notice the foundation here. Some of you are builders. You know how important that foundation is. If it is not secure and safe and level and strong, what's built upon it has no hope. It's going to be tilted. It's going to be unsteady. It might even fall over. And so Paul says, here's the foundation laid once for all. You can't change it. The apostles and prophets, and the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Now you might wonder, how is that foundation with us today? And hopefully you know the answer to that. The words of the apostles and prophets written down for us. The words of Jesus in here. Two, the foundation is the abiding word of God. Can't change it. That's the foundation. And then look what's built upon it. And this is where I will go back to what I started with. And that is the superstructure, what's built on the foundation from Ephesians 4, where he said this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And there you can see the leaders given, evangelists, pastor teachers, teachers. There's different words given here. Sometimes the word elder is given in other texts, or the word overseer. And different churches demarcate these leaders differently, but no, whatever terms you use here. There's a role for leaders in the church who hopefully are more mature and hopefully know the word of God. To do what? And you can see on top of that, equipping the saints, equipping you all, encouraging you, the building of the body and works of service, both the body here and then, of course, evangelists, extending the body, bringing the word of God to those who aren't in the church, who aren't believers currently. Keep this image in mind. I think this is so helpful for what the church is, what the foundation is, and what's being built on top of it. This church has some distinctives. I gotta tell you some of them. Let's take one. The way we worship. Some people have called it blended style. In the older days, it might be called contemporary worship. I think this is a distinctive of ours, the way we worship. Every church worships in a certain way. And I think there are plenty of ways to worship, because the New Testament does not prescribe it tightly. We should worship as God intends us to, as he prescribes it in Scripture. But man, is there a lot left open for churches to do things different ways? We're not the most liturgical service. I tell you what, though, a lot of times on vacation, I like going to a liturgical service. Anyone else like doing that? They worship differently. And so our distinctive might not be something that I feel so deeply in the bones, because it's reflecting the way Scripture says it needs to be. But when it comes to every member ministry, I think we're getting to something that's a little bit more of a conviction of, yes, this is healthy for any church, to encourage the flock and say, hey, we're all priests offering spiritual sacrifices. We all have a role. And in fact, the leader should be encouraging you and training you. And if we can do a better job, especially me, please let me know here. This is important stuff. So this has been a church that for 50 years, this is our 50th year anniversary, as you know, to refresh something like this, every member ministry. What does it look like? One of the first things that come to my mind, if I go down memory lane here just a little bit, this actually is not just a historical memory, is we have at least two organizations that were founded. Now, I'm on the board of both, the New Life Nursery School, the New Life Thrift Store. Both of them established, founded by members of the congregation, not the leaders, not elders. Debbie Wood with the New Life Nursery School. Jennifer Nicolades, the New Life Thrift Store. And that's an example of a grassroots, every member ministry starting things. The women's Bible study, is that Jenny List, I believe? I don't know her, but so I've heard, okay. Another one, all three of those last to this day. There's other ones too that have gone away. I can think of Lisa and I were going to help restart the years ago, the dating ministry, date night once a month. That was Joe and Maggie Veskovich. And unfortunately, we were starting it and Maggie came down with cancer. But that was something Joe and Maggie started years ago to benefit, to serve marriages. We could do that again, something like that again. But a lot of things have been started here because of every member ministry and not top down from the elders. I think that's pretty cool. But it's not just people who started ministry. This I'm kind of highlighting so far, an entrepreneurial starting new every member ministry. But boy, there's a lot of things not like that. People participating in ministries or maybe even behind the scenes, ministries that already exist. And behind the scenes, we had Ed and Susan Spector up here last week, and you heard Ed say it, I'd rather not be up front. There's a lot of you like that. And that's wonderful. In fact, another passage I could have gone to, well, is at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, a list of spiritual gifts. There's a multiple places in the Bible where lists of spiritual gifts are given, and in that one, one is mentioned that you don't see elsewhere, the gift of helps. I love that one, the gift of helps. And a lot of times that's done by people who would rather not be on the stage here. In fact, can I give you just a little recent story? One of you came to me recently and said, Mark, there's a couple in this church who have been serving, and I certainly know this, but serving even more than probably people you know and maybe more than you know. Servants behind the scenes doing all kinds of things. We really should acknowledge them. And so last week I went to the couple and I said, just so you know, this is the feedback I've received. And I think I know a lot of what you're doing, but probably not all of it. And we do say thank you and wow, praise God for you. Do you want to be publicly? And I knew the answer. No. Not what they would rather be behind the scenes. And that's probably what many of you. But there's many people doing that. And that is wonderful. Using their gifts. Some of you are overworked. I fear when I give a sermon like this and we talk about serving the church, serving others, every member ministry, you might be breathless when you hear this. And I'm doing so much already. Don't mean to discourage you or challenge you in a way that's not helpful. But for some of you, you might say, well, you know what? I haven't really jumped in and served every member ministry. Why not? For some of you, it might be, I was never asked. And we might not have done a great job in asking you. And I do ask you to, don't be afraid to volunteer. Don't be afraid to volunteer or tell you what we can do to equip you better. Some of you might say, you know what, I just go to church. And you might, when you search your heart, you might say, I just go to church, I show up and then I leave. Maybe you're a consumer. You come with a consumer mentality. I don't know. But we know that that's a problem in American church in different places. Whatever the reason, pray about it before the Lord. What would you have me do to serve every member ministry, whether behind the scenes, starting something new? I've heard all kinds of people say, I can't serve kids. Don't ask me serve kids because they're a little scary. You know what? Middle schoolers are not as scary as you think. Is that right, Jason? That's right. And I can think of someone here, I won't point out who it is, but years ago said, don't get me with the smallest kids in kids' life. But somehow somebody encouraged him into it. And then after years, you can sometimes see him reading books to little kids. He's been doing it for years now in kids' life. Didn't think he could do it. But what do you know? Kids aren't that scary. And he found he did have a gift there after all. I do love that one of the things in our history years ago, this was well before I came in 02, was discipleship that happened here. You think of sonship, and sonship being a sort of part of something larger. And it wasn't just called discipleship, it was called leadership training, LT. How many of you went through LT back in the day? I see just a couple hands. But what a great title. Leadership training. It might not mean you're always, you know, calling the shots, leadership in that sense, but you're trained up to take responsibility for something, every member ministry, and to own it, to serve there with all your heart, wherever the Lord's called you, and to take responsibility for that, and be trained up for that. What a wonderful thing to do. I don't have a particular action item for you, and maybe we need to list opportunities better. I got to say here, when it comes to the outline, you'll see at the end, I have some opportunities here for youth ministry. Jason passed on to me. Check into that. There's some needs there. We had some during the announcements. And if I could add one personally, the Wonderful Perspectives course is starting this fall, and I need help. Help a prayer team for the Monday nights, 15 Monday nights. And for serving food and coordinating with 15 different instructors and all that. If anyone could help me in different areas, I'd love it. That'd be great. But take this before the Lord. This is how the church lives and grows and strengthens. We are all different parts of the body, eyes and ears and feet, and even parts that don't seem important, we give the most honor to, or we should, at least. And I want to end here just by giving Peter the last word. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do pray, bringing our hands open to you and our hearts and saying, Lord, where would you have us serve? What would you have us do with our time to serve our neighbors or serve the church here or serve co-workers? Lord, it's a high calling to be called priests. And it's also full of responsibility and takes sacrifice. Oh, Lord, I know that the discomfort can stop us to learn something new, not be good at it, and maybe not do it right, and be with awkward people, and we are awkward people, and all these things can stop us. Would you encourage people, would you encourage all of us to just ask you afresh, Lord, how can we serve? What would you have us do? Lord, we ask this in your name, and now as we sing to you, Lord, O church, arise. Lord, this is one way that we arise, by giving our time and open hands to you. In Jesus' name, amen.